Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Talking Memphis, celebrating the life and career of the legendary Johnny Taylor. This week, as we celebrate what would have been his 90th birthday, we also honor his legacy as one of the true icons of soul music. Join us as we take a journey through the milestones of Johnny Taylor's remarkable career, from his humble beginnings in gospel music to his reign as the philosopher of soul. Born Johnny Harrison Taylor on May 5th, 1934 in Crawfordsville, Arkansas. Johnny Taylor's story begins in the heart of the Deep South, where he grew up in the nearby cotton fields of West Memphis, Arkansas. Young Johnny spent his early years under the guidance of his grandmother, who would raise him alongside his two elder siblings. Their home, steeped in tradition and faith, became a crucible where Johnny's love for music was soon forged. In the halls of the Baptist Church, Johnny would soon develop a fervor for gospel music. There, he'd find solace and purpose. After a move to the streets of Kansas City, a teenage Johnny Taylor found himself drawn to the harmonies of the gospel quartets, such as the Melody Kings. And in his formative years, he'd cross paths with another legend, Sam Cooke, the charismatic frontman of the Soul Stirrers. A friendship blossoming between the two would soon burn fires with their shared passion for both music and faith. With gospel music guiding his path, Johnny Taylor's next stop would be the streets of Chicago, joining both the Highway QCs and the Soul Stirrers in periods in which Sam Cooke transitioned in and out of both groups. Johnny Taylor found his iconic voice. Here's Johnny Taylor leading the Soul Stirrers in the love of God.
The love of God.
The winds of change swept through the soulful landscape of the 1960s. Johnny Taylor, at the time not just a gospel singer, but also an ordained minister, found himself at an important crossroads, torn between the sacred melodies of gospel and the siren call of secular music. Fate, it seemed, had already laid out its plans for Johnny, leading him down a path illuminated by the neon lights of Memphis's Stax Records. Despite his devout faith and soaring aspirations in gospel music, Johnny's journey was not without its trials and tribulations. A turbulent period marked by run-ins with the law and the haunting shadows of addiction threatened to derail his dreams. Yet amidst the chaos, a guiding light emerged in the form of his old friend Sam Cooke, whose mentorship and support offered Johnny a lifeline in the stormy sea of uncertainty. Under Sam Cooke's wing, Johnny joined SAR Records, Sam Cooke's own imprint. Johnny then made a leap into the realm of secular music, with his soulful croon resonating with audiences far and wide. But tragedy would strike on a fateful night in December 1964, when Sam Cooke's life was cut short, leaving Johnny adrift once again. Undeterred by this adversity, Johnny set his sights on new horizons, guided by the stars of destiny to the doorstep of Stax Records. In these hallowed halls of soul music, Johnny found his muse, once paired with producer Don Davis, whose vision for Taylor's career breathed new life into his sound.
I feel sorry. I feel sorry. Sorry, yeah. Oh, I feel sorry. I feel sorry for any man out there when he can't look around and say, this is my woman and my woman alone. I feel sorry. Somebody that I can call my very own. I feel sorry. I feel sorry. I feel sorry. I feel sorry. One thing I can say about the people of the world today, they see you with a good thing, they wanna take it away.
Former Stax artist, songwriter, and publicist, Dede Parker remembers her time with Johnny Taylor.
The first thing is how difficult it was for us to get people to spell his name correctly, because they used to want to spell it J-O-H-N-N-Y, but his name is J-O-H-N-N-I-E. So after we were able to achieve that and to get him on the Stax label, it was just a beautiful relationship. And it was a heck of a ride. He had his own stroll. He had that mannish boy's walk. And he came in through the door with a quart of beer in a brown paper bag, because he used to love to consume Stag beer, S-T-A-G. So he was not a man in the studio. When he was in the Stax studio, he wasn't a man that had a lot of conversation, but he was a man that had a lot of soul and a lot of phenomenal songs to sing. And I always told anybody who would believe me, or listen to me rather, at Stax Records, that the best male vocalist that Stax Records had on its roster was Johnny Taylor. He had the smoothness and persuasiveness of Nat King Cole and Johnny Mathis, and he had the temptation of the greatest blues singer that there is. And when it came to performing rhythm and blues, recording rhythm and blues, singing rhythm and blues, Johnny had his own style. And I don't know of anybody who could compete with him.
Gemini, all you fellas, gather around me and let me give you some good advice. What I'm gonna ask you now, you'd better think about it twice. While you're lying, cheating on your woman, there is something you never even thought.
And the only thing that Johnny needed in order to excel, to take it higher each time he recorded, was a good song. That's all Johnny ever needed, was a well-composed song. And it didn't matter whether it was up-tempo, if it was gutsy, if it was the blues, rhythm and blues, a classical song, a gospel song, give it to Johnny. Turn Booker T and the MGs loose with him in Studio A at Stax Records, and hey, it was a party. First of all, the world needs to know that Giant Taylor might have acted like he was a little off, but he was not. He was nobody's fool. He was a very shrewd business person. He was unique in that way. And of course, he was self-contained. He had his own business. And the only thing that he didn't have, as far as I know, was a recording studio. And he didn't have the magic that Stax Records provided every artist that ever walked through the door and into Studio A. But Johnny Taylor also was a little narcissistic. And he had every right to be. Because in the first place, he was an attractive young man. He was very, very mischievous, also known as mannish back in the day. He was extremely talented, and he, you know, he just had his own stride, if you will. And I remember that at Wattstax, I spent most of my time underneath the in the dugout. Is that what they call that? Where the football players and the sports personalities would stay while the game was going on. I was there making sure that all the artists were dressed in their stage attire, and that I was in communication with what was happening on the stage, so that I would know when transportation was going to be headed from the stage to the bunker area to get the artists, to transport them to the stage in time to go on the stage to perform. Johnny, I am confident, had made up in his mind that only one Stax artist was going to be the last Stax artist to perform. And usually the last act to perform is recognized as the star of the show. I think that in Johnny's mind, he had determined that it wasn't going to be Isaac Hayes, it was going to be Johnny Taylor. I often think about that. Now that it's over by 45 years, I can laugh at it, but he was a pain to deal with that afternoon because he just wasn't going to cooperate. It was either going to be his way or it was going to be no way, and it was no way. That's Beanie's interpretation of the situation. Okay, now Johnny Taylor might have had something else in mind, but I was reading the tea leaves and observing Johnny. Okay, and I think I knew him well enough to have some sense of the little games that he could play. So I'm serious. Johnny was our inimitable artist on the Stax roster. I kid you not. The man was a super talent. He was unique in every way. He was unique in the way that he dressed. His persona was unique. He'd walk in a room and he'd call everybody Pete. Hey, Pete. I can see him now, you know. I'd like to know more about him. I said one day I was going to do some additional research on Johnny. You know, Johnny was ordained. He's an ordained minister. He was an ordained minister. And I asked him about it. He could be so mischievous at times. I thought, I got to ask this man, into what sect was he ordained? And you know what he said to me? He said, I was an ordained minister of metaphysics.
Okay.
I never heard that word before in my life. If you were either Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Kojic, or you know what I'm saying, but he came come out of this bag on me with metaphysics. Those are some of the things that made. I mean, he was a funny man. He was different. He was smart. He was a handful. I went on the road with him a couple of times. Dealing with marketing and publicity, and the Johnny Taylor that you saw dressed in his stage attire, the star under the spotlight, was a different Johnny Taylor from the Johnny Taylor who relaxed, and enjoyed being with his homeboys. He knew that when they learned that he was coming to their town, they would kill the fatted calf. They would have greens, beans, peas, cornbread, macaroni and cheese, jelly cake, lemon cake, sweet potato pie, a custard, barbecue, fried chicken, neck bones. They would have a spread for Johnny, whatever Johnny wanted. I mean, he was just a regular guy. He really was a regular guy. He was, I don't think that he was pretentious. Now, he could be cocky, but I just think that Johnny, once you got to know him and you got past all of the things that you would have been, you might have been curious about or that you might have heard about him when he was not on his best behavior, he was a good guy. I think he was. Now, he gave me a lot of grief. Oh, God. When he didn't want to cooperate, but that wasn't often. That was often. That was one of those tactics that he used to get what he wanted, you know, and that was to be number one on the Billboard, Record World, and Cashbox charts, to be number one at Stax Records, and to benefit from all of the promotional strength and capabilities that we had. Because he had a vision about his career, and he knew that he was capable of achieving it. I really feel that way.
If you're tied up, you better stay tied up, because it's cheaper to keep her. This is from T. It says, it's cheaper to keep her. It's cheaper to keep her. When your little girl make you mad, and you get an attitude and pack your bags. Five little children that you're leaving behind. Son, you're gonna pay some alimony or do some time. That's why it's cheaper to keep her. Help me say it, y'all. It's cheaper to keep her.
It's cheaper to keep her.
See, when you get through staring that judge in the face, you're gonna wanna cuss the whole human race,
yeah, yeah,
that's why,
yeah,
it's cheaper,
yeah,
to keep her.
It's cheaper to keep her. It's cheaper to keep her. It's cheaper, it's cheaper, it's cheaper, it's cheaper, it's cheaper to keep her.
You didn't pay for $2 to bring the little girl home.
Ooh.
Now you're about to pay $2,000 to leave her alone.
Ooh.
See another woman out there, and you wanna make a change, but she ain't gonna want you, cause you won't have a damn thing.
Yeah, yeah,
that's why it's cheaper,
yeah,
to keep her. Everybody sing along with
keep
me.
Her.
It's cheaper to keep her.
It's cheaper to keep her.
By the time you get through looking that judge in the face, you're gonna wanna cuss the whole human,
yeah,
race.
Yeah,
that's why,
yeah,
it's cheaper,
yeah,
to keep her. Grass is greener,
ooh,
way over on the other side.
Ooh.
When that judge give you that dirty look,
ooh,
you may as well put your money in mama's pocketbook.
Yeah, yeah,
that's why,
yeah,
it's cheaper,
yeah,
to keep her. It costs too much to leave her alone. Yeah.
Keep her.
I know it's cheaper to keep her. Cause you gon' pay some alimony if you leave home.
It's cheaper to keep her.
I tell y'all, it's cheaper to keep her. All the fellas out there know what I'm talking about. Don't you know that it's cheaper to stay at home? I gotta tell you, I'm bringing you the message tonight.
It's cheaper.
It's cheaper to keep her. Cheaper to keep her. Cheaper to keep her.
Cheaper to keep her.
She gon' cost you too much if you let her go, man. It's cheaper to keep her.
It's cheaper.
You might as well put up with your little arguments and fuss and fight. Let's go. I'm gonna tell you something tonight. I tell you, it's cheaper to keep her.
It's cheaper.
Amen.
It's cheaper.
Ain't it cheaper to keep her? Yeah.
It's cheaper.
Johnny Taylor's tenure at Stax Records was nothing short of monumental, marked by a string of chart-topping hits and unparalleled commercial success that solidified his status as a soul sensation. Anchored by the infectious groove of Who's Making Love, Johnny Taylor stormed the airwaves with a revolutionary sound that resonated with audiences across the nation. The song soared to the top of the R&B charts, capturing the zeitgeist of its time and earning Johnny Taylor his first gold-selling record. But the hits did not stop there. With each release, Johnny Taylor's star continued to rise, propelled by the soulful strains of tracks like Cheaper to Keeper, I Believe in You, You Believe in Me. These songs not only dominated the R&B charts, but also made significant waves on the pop charts, cementing Johnny's place in music history. Cheaper to Keeper brought a jazz-influenced flair to the Stax repertoire, captivating listeners with his infectious rhythm and poignant lyricism. Its success mirrored that of his predecessors, climbing the charts and solidifying Johnny Taylor's position as a crossover sensation. With each chart-topping single, Johnny Taylor's legacy grew, leaving an indelible mark on the annals of soul music history, and his partnership with Don Davis yielded a sound that transcended genre boundaries, resonating today with audiences of all backgrounds and all generations. After the tumultuous downfall of Stax Records in 1975, Johnny Taylor wasted no time securing a new deal with CBS Records, marking the beginning of a new chapter in his illustrious career. Continuing to partner with Don Davis, Johnny Taylor unleashed his biggest hit, the iconic Disco Lady. Penned by Davis alongside Harvey Scales and Albert Vance, this infectious anthem dominated the charts, reigning supreme at the top of the Hot 100 for 4 consecutive weeks and topping the R&B chart for an impressive 6 weeks. Disco Lady wasn't just a hit, it was a cultural phenomenon, selling over 2.5 million copies and becoming the first single to attain platinum status by the RIAA. Its success propelled Johnny to new heights of stardom, cementing his status as a household name.
Shake it up, shake it down.
Bye.
despite the unparalleled success of his single Disco Lady and subsequent album Eargasm on CBS and Columbia Records, Johnny Taylor faced challenges in navigating the evolving landscape of the music industry. Following his eventual departure from CBS Columbia Records, Johnny Taylor found a new musical home at the revival soul and down-home blues label, Malico Records, where his talent continued to shine bright next to other former soul superstars. At Malico, Johnny was embraced and supported, allowing him to craft a remarkable body of work into the 80s and 90s. His soulful vocals and heartfelt lyrics resonated with audiences, reaffirming his stature as a true icon of soul, rhythm, and blues. During his tenure at Malico, Johnny Taylor released a series of albums that showcase his enduring artistry and musical depth. Despite not reaching the same commercial heights as his earlier successes, the albums captured a new essence of Johnny Taylor's sound and earned him critical and commercial acclaim. Standout tracks like Last $2 and Good Love both exemplified Johnny's ability to convey raw emotion and storytelling through his music. With each note, he poured out his heart and soul into every performance, leaving an indelible mark and impact on new soul music fans and longtime supporters alike.
What a shame. Lady at the casino, she lost all her money. She said, "Don't feel sorry for me, no. Don't feel sorry, honey. But if you wanna do a lady a favor, here's what I want you to do. Just loan me $2. Oh, until the next time I see you. But these last $2. The jukebox to hear me some blues. Gotta hear me some blues. She said I wouldn't be over here. My man had been treating me right. I came here to try to catch him, yeah. 'Cause he'd been sneaking around every night. But I got caught up over here, yeah. Got caught up in this scene. And I put all of my money in that doggone gambling machine. But these last $2. Hear me some down home blues. Oh, Lord.
Last $2. Not gonna lose. Last $2. Not gonna lose. Bus fare. Jukebox. Hear me some blues.
Lady at the casino. Lost all the money, yeah. She said, "Don't feel sorry. Don't feel sorry, honey. If you want to do a lady a favor, here's what I want you to do. $2 until I
next time I see you.
But these last $2, I'm not gonna lose. These last $2, I'm not gonna lose. Both for my bus fare, other one for the jukebox to hear me some blues.
This time we're gonna do it, put our minds to it
Johnny Taylor's journey came to an untimely end on May 31st, 2000, when he suffered a heart attack at his home in Duncanville, Texas. His passing left a void in the music industry, but his legacy continues to inspire generations of artists and fans alike.
So many people, you had to stand in line. One night only in soul heaven. I didn't want to wake up, I was having such a good time. All of the barcades were tuning up on stage. Jimmy had his guitar getting ready to play. A change gonna come. Otis was there, sitting on the dock of the bay. There was a party in Soul Heaven. Superstars from the past. When Junkie sang
we welcome Pat Mitchell Worley of the Bill Street Brass Note Committee to speak on Johnny Taylor and a brand new commemoration in his honor along the historic Bill Street District.
The Brass Note for Johnny Taylor is a very special one, not just because of his work at Stax Record, but Johnny Taylor's history in general. You know how artists, how they began with him being in West Memphis, the whole piece as a gospel artist, how this gospel artist became the sex symbol for so many working class African Americans, even to this day. Johnny Taylor is a name you bring up and you know a little bit about the person. You know them a little more when they're a Johnny Taylor fan. And I think that for the Brass Note, when we look at the artists that are going to get that placement on Beale Street, we're looking at so many things. And there were so many areas where Johnny Taylor, he fit as somebody who was a performer. And even in his vocal ability, there was a performance quality within it that was distinctive. But also what he was able to accomplish within his career, whether you look at his work on Stax, you look at Columbia, you look at Malico, the fact that he was the first artist to have a platinum record. The Disco Lady was the first of all time, the first ever certified platinum record. 2 million copies sold. So you think about that. There were a lot of people listening to Disco Lady. And it was this artist that today, not as many people are aware of his accomplishments and how much influence he had on others. But for the Stax Records piece, it's really important to understand that Johnny Taylor was a vital part of the rebuilding of Stax Records after the death of Otis Redding. So I think that this is an artist that some people say, oh, he's a soul artist. Some people say, oh, he's a blues artist. But he was everything in between. He was an artist, just as simple as that. It's exciting to have him added to that list of illustrious talent that is laid down on Beale Street. The Walk of Fame speaks to all of the sounds that have come out of Memphis. And it's an opportunity for a person who's walking down the street just to go get Spotify or Google some of those people and discover new music.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the life and music of Johnny Taylor. I've been your host, Jared J.B. Boyd. Until next time, keep the soul alive.
Heaven is, oh my, yes. Have troubles, don't cry. Just remember that God is standing by. And when disappointments, you know they'll find you by and by. But don't you worry, don't feel discouraged. and don't you cry. Let me tell you, God is sure standing by. Yes, he is. Wipe the tear from your eyes. God is sure standing by. When you need a friend, oh no. God is sure standing by. Yes, he is. Don't worry, don't feel discouraged.